Now, you've got a new trial that is coming up that you wanted to talk about that you've just started as well. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it's in the early stages yet, and it's yes, it's a work of a man who named Peter Jenny, who has published a book called Mary's Mosaic. Peter worked for about 35 years on that case. The Mary in it is Mary Meyer. Now, the fascinating thing about this case, it's a 50-year-old case. She was assassinated in 1964 in Washington, D.C. She was the only woman Jack Kennedy ever loved and was very, very close to him, and it's quite clear he was going to marry her. I mean, people close to them knew that and said that after the second term. Mary had been married, she's a very prominent Washington person, had been married to Cord Meyer, who was a deputy director of the CIA. And she just had so much of their operations that she couldn't take it, and she divorced him. And then she became close to Jack Kennedy, and they really had a mission for peace. She was about turning him into a real fighter, a warrior, if you will, for peace. And Jack Kennedy, as you know, delivered a famous speech at American University and began to turn directly in that issue. It was beyond that. I mean, she got Tim Leary up at Harvard to give her acid, and she took the president, believe it or not, on his only acid trip to try to open him up. And I think she was very successful and very much in love. And as Peter Jenny has documented so well in his book and his work, she came to a point when they assassinated Jack Kennedy. She knew how it happened, and she waited for the Warren Commission report to come out. That report was a total cover-up, as many people believe.
Oh, yeah.
She confronted her ex-husband, Cord Meyer, and said that quite clearly she was going to blow the whistle on him and Jim Angleton and the agency because of their involvement in the assassination if they didn't allow the truth to come forward about how Jack was killed. Well, this is a brave and courageous and marvelous woman. And frankly, they then assassinated her. They killed her on a towpath when she went for a daily walk outside of her home in Georgetown. They had her assassinated. Mm. They set up a black guy, Ray Crump. They tried him, and a wonderful, talented lawyer named W. Rountree got him acquitted because they didn't have the evidence. They didn't have any forensics, any fibers, they had no evidence. And a witness saw someone, allegedly, this was a part of the staging, standing over the body, was 5'8" tall, 185 pounds. Crump was about 5'3", 135 pounds. I mean, it was ludicrous. So the jury, and that's why we love the jury system, isn't it? They acquitted this guy. So it's been an unsolved murder to this point in time. And Peter Jenny has identified a key person who was involved in that conspiracy. And yes, he apparently was an intelligence agent. He was there. He was on the scene. And he was used. And we are looking at a way. And it's not easy, as you can imagine, after 50 years. But we're looking at a way to try to bring this into a courtroom where all of the evidence that Peter has uncovered can be put before a judge and jury. And I took this on. I watched Peter's work for a number of years and advised him and stayed in the background. Finally agreed to do it, to come on as his counsel, because I came to see that this is maybe the most important of the assassinations because it links. Mm-hmm. It links to the assassination of Jack Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy because she was, of course, involved in discussions with the two of them in terms of all kinds of matters. She visited the White House 40 times in the October before the president was killed in November.
Wow.
She's very powerful behind-the-scenes influence to combat the Cold War and to bring America away from the Cold War into a peaceful perspective. And, of course, that's one of the things that was held against John Kennedy, that he was looking to normalize relations with Cuba, that he had entered into serious discussions with Khrushchev.
Well, you talk about you talk about Kennedy's peace movements. He actually stopped Operation Northwoods, which is really kind of template for 9/11. If people want to know why we believe, one of the reasons why we believe it is because they had planned it decades before, doing exactly the same thing.
He walked out of the room. One time after another, the Joint Chiefs came at him. Curtis LeMay and Lemnitzer came at him. They wanted a preemptive strike on the Soviet Union,
yeah.
A nuclear strike.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing after another, these military guys were on Kennedy. And when he questioned them specifically and precisely about detail, they didn't have them. They didn't know that there were 100 land-based surface missiles throughout Cuba. They didn't even know that. And if there had been the invasion that they were looking to mount, it would have been a disaster for mainland United States as well as for any invading force.
Absolutely. Yeah, for people who don't know, I mean, look at Operations Northwoods. That was a plan to fly planes into buildings and blame it on Cuba so they could have an excuse to attack Cuba. It was a plan to do bombs in civilian areas, a campaign of terrorism, so they could blame it on Cuba and then invade Cuba.
Exactly.
And
right.
when Lemnitzer was let go by Kennedy, he goes to NATO, and you see Operation Gladio, where they had a campaign of terror there that they then turned around and blamed on the communists so they could move their agenda forward there.
Well, there's no question about that. You know, and if Bob Kennedy had been elected president, although on the record and officially he never made this commitment, but he did to some of who were very close to him. And he did say one of his first tasks was going to be to reopen the investigation, the assassination of his brother. And on that, that's a collaboration right across with the encouragement, of course, of Mary Meyer. So I think this is a political assassination. People don't know about it. It's an unsolved murder. And I applaud Peter Janney for all of his work. And I'm happy to do what I can do to bring those facts to light, because they relate to the other critical assassinations on either side of her death. And I'm happy to do that.
Well, you know, it's always a worthwhile thing to go in and search for the truth. And I really appreciate the fact that, as you said, you made sure that you had careful evidence. You went in and you looked for 10 years at the Martin Luther King assassination before you went into it. So we don't want to go in half-cocked about stuff, and we don't want to start throwing around wild accusations. But when you see something that's not right, when you see something that doesn't match the official story, it takes a lot of courage to go against that and to stand up and point out the emperor has no clothes, to say that this isn't true, that, you know, here's what really happened, especially when it's something like in the case of Sirhan, where he talks about having been under mind control. The public is really not ready to accept that on a broad basis yet. We have a lot of education to do, because as we both said, this has been going on for over 60 years, and they've turned it into something of a science. This is something that the CIA, as well as other black ops, have been doing for quite a long time. We're going to be right back with Dr. William Pepper right after the break. Stay tuned. But we were talking to Dr. William Pepper, and he's defended Sirhan, trying to get him another trial, trying to get it reopened based on new evidence that surfaced in 2004 about audio recordings that show that there were multiple guns and that there were 13 shots fired, and talking about how there was even physical evidence of the shots in the ceiling. It was upward shots, shot from behind, that actually killed Robert Kennedy. And Sirhan was in front, and he was actually maintains that he did not know where he was. He didn't know that he had shot Robert Kennedy. He was told that he had and believed it based on what he had been told. Sounds very similar to the shooting that we had in Aurora, Colorado. And there's a lot to be done in terms of educating the public as to what the CIA has been doing. We had some revelations of the Church Committee hearings in the 1970s where the CIA confessed to quite a bit of things that was news to the general public that had been talked about by other people. And we know that for at least 60 years, the government has been making a science out of mind control. That's something that the general public just doesn't understand yet. And we have a documentary that's coming out that you can pre-book right now at InfoWarsStore.com, Mind Control. It's about the psychology of mind control and what's been done in these programs over the last several decades. Dr. Pepper, we were just talking about the new trial that you're getting involved in. Tell us a little bit about that, and we've got a couple of more minutes. Tell us where you want to try to take that. You said you're trying to get that case reopened and actually, I guess, trying to do a prosecution based on the evidence that you've got there. Is that correct?
Well, I think we're exploring all of the possible avenues. The whole idea is to get a judicial setting, whether it's civil or criminal, mm-hmm. where the evidence that Peter Janney has dug up and others have dug up as well.
That's good. We're going to talk to you. Jury. We're going to have an interview on the Prison Planet.